Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donnellan in for Maria Bailey, and it is a pleasure to be here with you on this, the third week of September, and time is flying because this week is the first day of fall. The autumnal equinox, I think I said that right, is this week. So it's a great time of year. I don't know anybody that doesn't love fall. And for most of the country anyway, there's the change in the weather. And just this morning, I saw on the Weather Channel, beautiful changing of the leaves and those golden and garnet colors that and yellows that dominate the foliage up north. But of course, our palm trees don't change color. They just pretty much drop off and fall to the ground. But we'll still get a little break for the autumn. Temperatures will drop and it will be lovely in Florida. And that's why everybody comes down here after Labor Day. So we're getting into the Florida travel season. All the snowbirds come flying down. So I hope that your first week of fall is lovely and that your kids are settling into a routine of school, whether it's at home or in a classroom. And before we start with our guests real quick, which I'm going to mention briefly, I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Premama. And if you listen to the show and know how much we love Premama, you'll love even more the fact that there are two products that they've introduced a couple of months ago that make the products now a complete maternity wellness line. So in addition to the two prenatal powder formulas, Essentials and Essentials Plus DHA, Premama now offers Premama Fertility and Premama Lactation. So whether you're trying to conceive or you've already had your baby and you're breastfeeding, check out Premama. Go to drinkpremama.com on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Follow them because they offer great content as well as even there's a coupon on the website, by the way, at drinkpremama.com. Go to coupons and you'll find a nice coupon there. But the new formulas are all available at CVS stores across the country and CVS.com. So make sure to check it out. Go to CVS.com and actually, or drinkpremama.com and enter your address, your zip code or your city and state, and it will tell you what CVS store in your area has it. And if there isn't a store near you, of course, CVS.com, which I order almost everything online now. So, and Amazon as well. And Amazon's actually one of my favorite. I'm a Prime Amazon member. So these products are also available on Amazon. So check it out, drinkpremama.com. So then into our show, we have a great show lined up. It's actually book day here on Mom Talk Radio. We've got a first-time author named Virginia Burton Stringer, and she has written a cute little book called Hey Maggie. And then we've got veteran authors as well. Dicey McCullough's Tired Book Series, which if you've never heard of it, is really adorable. And we have a couple other authors. And then we're also going to be talking to Dr. Gail Saltz, who is a professor of psychiatry at New York Presbyterian Hospital. And she has actually teamed up with Tylenol to give us tips and strategies on the How We Family program, hashtag How We Family, and that's in conjunction with Tylenol. So we have a great show lined up. Oh, and then the other thing too is we're going to be talking to a mom who's a breast cancer survivor. There's a lot of them out there, and this mom has got some great a great story and some great tips for how she communicated with her children when she was diagnosed. And that's going to be in our spotlight on moms, which is a great one of my favorite segments on the show. So when we come back, we are going to be joined by Dicey McCauley, and she is a veteran author who has written 7 books in the series Tired series, and it goes tired of my bath, tired of being different. It's all about being different. So you'll want to stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I do it like a Whitman's box of chocolates. I just open, I take one bite, I go, that was really good. I throw out the rest. And I let my kids do the same thing because I feel like by the end of the night, we've gotten it all out of our system.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
As I said at the start of the show, it is book day. We're talking to some wonderful authors. And the first to start the show is Dicey McCullough, who is a veteran teacher with more than 30 years experience and has written a book series called The Tired Book Series, from Tired of My Path to Tired of School to Tired of Being Different and Tired of Being a Bully, which is a good one. All kinds of great moral lessons in her books, and is just finished her sixth book, Tired of Being Obedient. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dicey.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about what inspired you to write the books, because they do all have a moral lesson, and there are things that, you know, basically are very, just great kids themes.
Right. Well, as a retired teacher, I spent 30 years in the classroom, 11 of those with kindergarten children and 19 as a music teacher. But especially as a kindergarten teacher, I would hear children talking about being tired of things and thought that would be a cute little series, not realizing that someday I would actually be the one writing the series.
Right.
Being with the children, I know a lot about what they like and everything, and especially like the rhythm and rhyme of the words helps them with literacy and comprehension. So I decided to write them in that format. The third book, Tired of Being Different, I wrote because as a child I felt different. And so in the story, the little dog, the little puppy, Rocky, feels different and finds that being different in the end is okay.
That's great.
The bully book, yeah, as far as the bully book, I actually write it from the viewpoint of the bully and how sometimes they're that way because they don't have a friend or a home life. And so in the story, a little bully dog moves in next door, and eventually the little puppy reaches out to him and becomes his friend, and he learns how to be a friend. So
aww,
those are kind of some of the things, yeah, that
very sweet.
Inspire me.
Yeah, I'm looking on the website. It's diceymcculloughbooks.com, and that's McCullough. A nice Irish or Scottish. Is that Scottish or Irish?
I think it's Scotch-Irish.
Yes, okay, so a little bit of both. Anyway, adorable, yeah. Adorable picture. It's so cute, so check it out. I encourage our listeners to check it out. And the Tired of Being Obedient, your latest one, made the top 100 list on Amazon this summer for children's books about dogs and animals. Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I was really, really proud of that one. And it also includes a real dog trainer from our community. And
cute.
He is the main character. And he had met Caesar Milan last spring. And four of Caesar's trainers that had trained with Caesar actually let me put their quotes and pictures in the book. And as a result of that, I got invited to join the Dog Writers Association of America. So I was really, you know, it's been really a good journey and a good project.
What a great story. Where do our listeners buy the books? Obviously on Amazon, since you've got that nice
Amazon
kudos under your belt.
Uh-huh.
Barnes
yeah,
and Noble.
Amazon and Barnes and Noble. Uh-huh.
Right. And so when you talk about just basically your experience as a teacher and then as a music teacher, do you feel like, do you see these books in the hands of school kids, or is, you know, because it sounds like it'd be a great series for, like you said, in kindergarten up through primary school ages.
Right. Even up through third, fourth, and fifth. I find they like them too because they're the hot topics, that mm-hmm. sort of thing. Yeah, and I do presentations for schools. When I go into schools, I do a theme. I do celebrate reading and writing. And just the first book I made into a song, and so I can share music with the kids and talk about different styles of writing. I have a blog. If they go to my website, you can check that out. And I do my favorite people, places, and things each week. Like a week ago, I wrote about a friend who just went through kidney transplant, and about the donor and how, you know, unselfishly he gave, you know, to her. It was a 26-year-old man. So, you know, I try to look around and find things, positive things to write about on my blog as well.
That's wonderful. Yeah, the website, just very well developed, your website. Everything is in here, just the cute
Thank
books
you.
And then, like you said, the blog and events.
Yeah.
So do you hear feedback from fellow teachers or students, really?
I do. They especially like the fact that their books are rhythm and rhyme. I've even had some parents tell me that these books were the first books that their children actually read by themselves. It's not just a story just to have written the story, but it also has a message, and that's what they like about it as well, that they can talk about the message in the book.
Right.
And not only the fact that it helps with the literacy, but it's, you know, for their children.
Right.
But when I go into the schools, I have teachers who, you know, some of them have all of the books in the series, and they're excitedly waiting for the next one. Sometimes they have the children write in my style. Like, for example, I've had kids to write about being tired of chores or, you know, being tired of their brother, you know, fussing at them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to see their stories, too.
You have so much potential here, you realize, because I know it's a while ways off, you said, but you're writing another book, and a seventh in the series. But you could talk about tired of my brother, tired of my sister, tired of my tired of you, just because you do hear that is that's
right.
A perfect kid phrase, right?
Right. Well, and the next book is going to be tired of music.
Music?
And,
that's funny.
Tired of music, and it's going to include a real music teacher, and I'm going to include also a CD with songs that go along with each of the previous books.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, that's great. And when is that now? That's early stages still, the tired of music?
It is. It is. Very early.
Uh-huh. Well, we'll love to have you back on to talk about that when it's published.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you so much.
All right. So check it out, listeners, to go to DiceyMcCulloughBooks.com. I'm sure we can Google you as well. Or check you out on Amazon, uh-huh, because that's quite the badge on to get the top 100. So thank you so much. Best of luck with your seventh book, and just love the series. But before we shine the spotlight on moms, let me remind you to check out MomTalkRadio.com. You'll find this show next week after it airs, and as well as all the archive shows. We've got years of terrific guests on there. You'll see them by topic on the website. And also go to Mom Talk Radio on Facebook. You'll get great updates. And actually, Maria has just written her eighth book called Millennial Moms, 202 Ways to Reach Millennial Moms and Build Brand Sales. So it's a great book. If you're a millennial mom, check it out. Go to Amazon.com and Google Maria, and you'll see the book. It's a pretty blue cover that actually Shauna, our Mom Talk Radio producer, is a graphic artist, and she designed the cover. So check it out when you have a minute. Again, go to MomTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back with the Spotlight on Moms and Claudia Schmidt. This is Marion from Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and we're shining the spotlight on moms and a very special guest, Claudia Schmidt, who is the mother of two children, teenagers, 16 and 18. And as if that wasn't a challenge enough, Claudia is a breast cancer survivor, and she blogs at myleftbreast.net and tweets at Claudu, Claudoo. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Claudia.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So tell us the story. When were you diagnosed? How old were the kids? What did you do?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed in February of 2010 and found the lump myself. So please, women, be aware. You know, mm-hmm. Do your exams, your self-exams. My kids at that time were 12 and 14. And, you know, they were old enough that it was okay to talk to them about it, but they were young enough that they didn't really maybe get quite how serious it was. And so it was actually, you know, honestly a good time for me. If they had been much younger, it would have been obviously a lot more difficult. We kind of did this together, my husband and I. You know, once I was diagnosed and we knew what was in front of me, my husband and I sat down and figured, well, it's going to be a while. There's chemotherapy involved. There were several surgical procedures that were going to happen. And we knew my kids would know about it because of that. You know, we knew right, they'd right. figure it out. I knew I was going to lose my hair. You know, it's always the thing that I think all women really fear a lot. So we knew we had to tell them, and we knew it would be best to tell them in the right way. So we did. We sat them down and we explained it. And I have to tell you, kids are very strong and they are insightful and they were fine. I mean, they took their cue from us.
Sure.
We were calm and we were real, you know, we're very clear in our communication, and they were pretty good about it.
What is a typical treatment? And were there any, you know, moments when the kids were just, you know, really scared, and then vice versa when they really, you were scared and they supported you?
To be clear about breast cancer, there's no typical breast cancer. It's right. Everyone is different. And I will mm-hmm. tell you that from all the people I know, but My kids weren't really scared. They were surprised and confused at times. You know, As I said, I had chemotherapy. It's scary for kids to see their mother with no hair. Let's face it. That's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, my son, I told them about it beforehand. And one time I was driving in the car with my son, who was 12 at the time. And, you know, he said, well, Mommy, when is your hair going to fall out? And when are you going to go bald? And I said, oh, it's probably going to happen next chemotherapy, because that's what happens after your second chemotherapy. And he said, Mommy, maybe you'll be the one in a million that doesn't lose your hair.
Oh.
And, you know, oh, it like practically brought me to tears. But I was, you know, I kind of felt so, I was so glad that he got it. And I said to him, Christopher, you know what? My hair's going to come out, but it's okay, because my hair's going to come back eventually.
It
was, you know, I think you should be honest with your kids. You know, I was really honest with them, and they were really good about it. We tried to keep things really normal. I live in a community where my son at that time was in baseball, and he was doing a lot of summer baseball, and everyone in the community was really helpful and supportive, and all the moms from the baseball team would make us dinners and bring us food, and a very, very strong community. And I think that was really good for my kids to see. I think it's good for your kids to see that, you know, you have people around you, and something impacts your family, it's good to have the community come and support you.
Well, and it shows that the community's compassion and empathy, and then it teaches your kids a lesson too, because when something happens to another mom down the street, they know that that's, you know, when you step up.
Exactly.
So. What a great lesson. So when you went through the process, what tips would you give to moms who are going through the process, or, you know, have just gotten diagnosed? In other words, you said you waited until you knew your treatment regimen, right?
To tell my kids. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I waited until we knew exactly what was going to happen, because if it was going to be just surgical procedures that maybe they wouldn't even notice. Wouldn't really impact them. Like if I just had to have a lumpectomy, I don't know that I would have told them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But given that it was going to be extensive, and it was, for me, it was about a year and a few months, I would tell moms, any moms out there, anyone who has breast cancer, be an advocate for yourself. Read and research. Really rely on your friends. Let your community support you. Don't be the strong mom that we know we all are, and you know, say, I can do it on my own. You can't do breast cancer on your own.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And again, you are blogging at myleftbreast.net, where I'm sure you're talking about your journey, and you are five years removed from it.
Survivor. So. Yeah, I'm
wonderful.
Out and everything is wonderful and life is good.
Great. So glad to hear that. Thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio, Claudia. And when we come back with a short break, we'll be joined by Virginia Burton Stringer, our next author, who is actually just wrote the book, her first novel called Just Maggie. We'll be right back.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Marion for Maria on Mom Talk Radio. On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, we continue our author spotlights, and we are going to talk to Virginia Burton Stringer, who has just released her first novel called Just Maggie, but the spelling is unusual, and I'll let her tell you about it. It's Just Maggie, M-A-A-G-Y. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Virginia.
Thank you so much for having me. Yes, Maggie, M-A-A-G-Y, stands for Princess Melania Abigail Alice Grace. But her dad just cut it down to Maggie.
Okay, gotcha. So when was the book released?
It was released in October of 2014.
Okay, so relatively new. And tell us a little bit about it. What's the theme? What theme is in the book?
Well, first of all, Maggie is an impetuous little princess, and it's about her journey, really, from the time she hits about 13 years old. It starts on her 13th birthday, and we all know that 12, 13 in a little girl's life is a changing moment as they enter into that pre-adulthood adolescent phase. And so she's pretty impetuous. She lies. She stomps her foot. She demands everything. She's been raised by her elderly, widowed father. And so he realizes he must change her naughty ways. So he takes her to the summer castle where she meets Grandpa Chris and Grandma Polly, and her whole world changes that summer. And it becomes a beautiful thing. And the book is really about her journey through that crazy world of adolescence, and the series, in fact, which this is the first in a chapter book series.
Okay, great.
And the series is really about a young woman's journey from 13 to about, to adulthood. And it's a tumultuous time, as we all know, but it's beautiful and it's exciting and it's wonderful and it's nerve-wracking and hair-raising.
Yes. Yes.
And all of that.
Yes. And I have a 13-year-old, just so you know.
You do?
I do.
Congratulations, and God be with you.
Thank you. All those adjectives you're describing are exactly what's going on in my house.
Yes,
so
yes.
Tumultuous being the best. So
yes, yes.
Well, I'm looking at the website now. It's justmaggie.com, and again, it's M-A-A-G-Y. It's beautiful, the artwork. It's just
Thank
gorgeous.
You. My illustrator is a young woman named Lauren Abernathy, and this was actually her first book to illustrate. And I
beautiful.
Must tell you, the illustrations are absolutely gorgeous. If you go to Just Maggie by Virginia Burton Stringer on Facebook, mm-hmm. That's my Facebook page, you can see a lot of the internal artwork that's in the book, and she's just phenomenal.
Oh,
so thank
great.
You very much for that compliment. I'll pass it
yes,
on to her.
Yes, yes. I like to look at, you know, before the show, I was checking out all your links and your site. It's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So it's a fairy tale princess story. And what can our as you said, our preteen and tween girls really, and our young teen girls get out of the book?
Well, I think what's important about Maggie is that, and I think what's important for young girls today to realize is, first of all, perfection is not all it's cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. Maggie is not perfect. She makes a lot of mistakes. But underneath it all, with the devious behavior, with the tantrums, with the lying to get her way, all of that stuff, underneath all of that is a really amazing, beautiful, complex, intelligent young woman just waiting to emerge. And these are all things that girls need to go through. Maggie is not afraid to stand up for herself. She's not afraid to stand up for her friends. Now, in and among all of that, she's called stubborn, bratty, willful, and all of those things that young women, young girls think are criticisms. The way I look at it, if somebody says to a 13-year-old, you are so stubborn, why do you have to have your way all the time?
Right.
She should take that as a compliment, because later on in life, that tenacity, that zest, that demand to reach her goals is what is going to make her a successful young woman and a successful adult. And I think that's some of the most important aspects of it. There's a lot in the book about honesty and honor and what happens when you start telling lies, how
right.
one lie leads to another, to another, to another, and all of a sudden you're so involved and so wrapped up in lies. Her father explains it as if when you tell a lie, it's like a spider spinning a web. The more lies you tell, the tighter the web becomes until you can't get out of it. And
uh-huh.
I think she learns her lessons there. She begins at the summer castle. When she gets there, she starts to learn some of those lessons. Now, the summer castle is not all strict learning. There's a lot of fun, a lot of magic. She finds out some really interesting things about the fourth floor.
Can't give that away. You're giving it away.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell what's on
yeah,
the fourth floor.
That sounds awesome.
But she also finds, in addition to a very, very interesting shop that she never is able to find again for the rest of the many summers that she goes to the summer castle and goes to the fourth floor, she can never quite find it. She knows it's there, but she can never quite find it. So that's just a little hint. But in addition to that, she also finds a combat training room with all kinds of swords and daggers and axes and weapons and mats to work on. Daddy won't let her go in. Can't do it. No, forget it. But there's
She's
a fascination there.
Yeah,
so,
sure. That's wonderful.
There's a mysterious painting of a warrior woman that she realizes she looks like.
Oh,
and
okay. Good.
Nobody knows who it is. So there's mystery, there's magic, there's some really interesting characters that she meets along the way.
Right. My 13-year-old is definitely, she's an avid reader and she's picky, but this sounds perfect for her. She's, and I think your lessons are wonderful. So, just great. And I think if you want to call my daughter later, I'll give you her cell phone number off the air because you need to talk to her. Because everything you were saying earlier, I was like, yep, check the box, check.
Yeah.
That's what I need to talk to my teenagers about.
Yep. And it's so hard as a parent, it's so hard teaching children to temper that and use in a productive way.
Channel
that
it, yes.
Stubbornness, that tenacity.
Tell our listeners where they can find your book in terms of retail outlets and then your website again.
It is available through Archway Publishing, the website at Archway Publishing, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, digital download on Kindle, iPad, and if you go to my website or my Facebook page, there are links there.
Virginia Burton Stringer, and it's just Maggie, again, maagy.com. Thank you so much again for joining us, Virginia, and best of luck with the next book, because this is a series, so we'll be watching for your next book. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Glenn Giles, who is an author of Harriet's Big Adventure. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
So continuing on the book theme, I'm pleased to introduce Glenn Giles. He is a retired educator and has written a book called Harriet's Big Adventure, which is the second book in the series. And the first book was called A Hug for Harriet. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be with you.
So not only have you been a teacher for many years, now you're an author, but you are a professional musician as well.
That's correct. All my training is music education for my bachelor's degree and then oboe performance for a master's and a doctorate.
Wow, that's fantastic. So where does the book, obviously as an educator, were you a music teacher or a instrument?
I taught instrumental music in grades 4 through 8 for a number of years, and then I moved to the college level, and I've taught undergraduate and graduate students at the college level.
Oh, wonderful. So where did the jump come to being an author for Harriet's Big Adventure and Hug for Harriet?
Well, one of my colleagues is a big animal lover. He conducts one of the bands at the college I taught at before I retired. And he bought 4 miniature donkeys. And when I first met them, the donkeys were such incredible animals. They're very curious, they're very gentle, and they're very social animals. And so the first book came about talking about Harriet's trip from her old farm to the new farm where she lives and going from a large herd to a small herd where she could finally get some attention from the owner. And then Harriet's Big Adventure came about when accidentally the gate got left open one day at the farm, and Harriet got out, and that gave me the idea of her moving through a trail on the property and meeting different animals, a squirrel, a porcupine, and a doe and a fawn.
Oh, that's great. So, if our listeners haven't figured it out, Harriet is the donkey, right?
She's the miniature donkey.
Wonderful. Yes, and I have heard actually very intelligent animals, just very, very interesting.
And long-lived as well. They can live up to 40 years.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
that's a commitment. And you live with
there
them.
You go.
You live with 4 miniature donkeys. Is that correct?
That's correct. In the book, I talk about A Hug for Harriet. I talk about 2 of the others, another female named Sally and a male named Nacho. And since then, I've acquired a 4th one that needed adopting. So we've added him to the herd.
Oh, that's wonderful. So obviously you draw inspiration by simply looking out onto your property, out your window probably, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we have 60 acres here in the Adirondack State Park in New York State.
Oh, it's beautiful,
State.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year that's so special now with the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And with the animals, the barn is just across the way, and they're always up to something. So it is easy. I have the third book written, but it's waiting to be illustrated now. Oh. About Harriet Saves the Day. Harriet, it's a summer scene, and a fire gets started by lightning, and one of the cats gets caught. And Harriet likes to kick over her water trough. And so we made that part of the story where she got to put the fire out.
Oh, okay.
And then as you could tell, these are stories geared at the 3-year-old up to about an 8-year-old age group.
Okay. Yes. Actually, I'm looking online right now. I'm actually on Amazon, but the illustrations are just precious. And I'm reading the story, so it looks really fun.
I was very lucky. The illustrator lives here in our community. He actually is. One of the art educators at our local school district, but it worked out that he had time to do some illustrating, and he came over and met the donkeys and just loved to draw them, and he's created
perfect.
So many just very poignant illustrations to go with the story.
Oh, what a perfect partnership, and all right there where you are. And I said in the beginning of the show that this week is the autumnal equinox, so it's fall. I'm sure, are you starting to see the changes of the leaves and the temperature change upward? Because you're upstate New York, right?
Yeah, we're almost to the Canadian border.
Canadian border, right.
From our house, we're up on a hill. You can in the winter, you can see the lights of Messina, and Messina is a village that's right on the St. Lawrence Seaway between us and Canada.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. This is a 5-book series, and the second one, and then you're working on a third. Is that what you said?
That's correct. Harriet's Big Adventure was number 2, and number 3 is all written. It's just a matter of an illustrator having time to
ink the pictures.
And the next one of the books that's coming up in the series that I'm working on right now, for many small children, they don't understand what it means to have to take care of a pet or an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And this one talks about Harriet's veterinarian, her farrier, the different people that are involved in caring for an animal.
Again, it's called Harriet's Big Adventure, and check it out on Amazon. Ex Libris is the publisher, so we will definitely be looking for the next book in the series. We are going to wrap the show by speaking with Dr. Gail Saltz, who is a professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, and we're going to be talking about hashtag How We Family through Tylenol. We'll be right back. On this segment of Mom Talk Radio to end the show today, we are welcoming Dr. Gail Saltz, who is a wife and mother of 3 daughters herself and is also a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital. But she's going to be giving us tips and strategies today as part of Tylenol's How We Family program. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Saltz.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. So you've been in practice for over 20 years, and you've worked with families and probably seen all kinds of shapes and sizes and could write a book on it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the program, the How We Family program.
Yeah, so the survey, Tylenol gathered 1,700 families and looked at a great diverse range of kinds of families, and really talked to them, or essentially questioned them, about how they viewed themselves and how that differed from how families viewed themselves in the 1950s and 60s. And it was really remarkable that families today, which are much more diverse than ever, see themselves nonetheless as a very traditional family, and that they like their families, they feel proud of their families, and as a matter of fact, and you know, this isn't surprising given the fact that these families are very diverse and feel this way. Things that were most important to families today, which is different from the 50s and 60s, is that teaching acceptance and diversity is very, very high up on the list of, mm-hmm. of values that matter to families to be teaching them about, to be talking to their kids about. And, of course, communication had risen to be one of the, you know, almost important things to be talking with your kids about.
Right. So this was a study of families. Was it across the U.S.? Was it specific and into
yes.
a region?
So it was across the U.S. These were families of different sex parents, same sex parents, single sex single parents, step families. Really, sort of every constellation, which you know today is of course much more prevalent than it used to be.
Absolutely.
And you know we're sort of wondering. You know, are families struggling a lot with those different kinds of identities? Do they feel not included in the label of traditional? Do they feel, you know, that there is discomfort in being a diverse family? And it was, you know, it was surprising how many families really don't feel that way, quite honestly,
they
do feel very comfortable.
And you had said at the start of the segment that, you know, defining what is defined as traditional, and in my opinion, I think that definition just by what you're saying is definitely changing. There's a whole sea change.
Clearly, it has changed. I would say, you know, as a mental health professional, for the better, because your family identity is something that really matters in terms of happiness, in terms of having relationships, and being included in community. So, to feel accepted and to feel that you are a traditional family and you like your family, that helps every family member.
Right. So, and it's just such a sense of permanence for kids to have that, as you said, that family identity.
So. I mean, the survey also looked at that. It looked at keeping traditions, which was very, very important to today's families, passing on old ones, creating new ones for the family, and that sense of family identity, which is really what you're talking about, for children, is hugely important. Like, I belong here, and I like our family, and this is who we are, and these are the traditions we do, and this is how we play together. Those kinds of things really matter to kids as they grow up.
So the website is howwefamily.com, and this, again, it's a Tylenol study, you said, interviews, correct?
Exactly, survey, large survey.
So we only have about a minute left.
What
will we find at howwefamily.com?
Well, a whole host of videos and more information, more of a breakdown about specifics that families, you know, everything from, you know, how they felt about honesty, you know, what kinds of things families like to do together, the importance of saying I love you, lots of different specifics about families, but also testimonials from families about, you know, how they are dealing with challenges that come. How they feel about their families, certain celebrities who step forward to support the idea that diverse families, you know, need to feel accepted and need to feel supported. So all of that is there.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And again, it's hashtag Howie Family, and we'll post that on Mom Talk Radio next week and on the Facebook page as well. And again, it's howiefamily.com. And thank you so much, Dr. Saltz, for joining us. And that is the last segment for this fantastic show. I want to thank all our guests for joining us and all everyone out there who is listening. Be sure to check out momtalkradio.com for this show and past shows that are archived, as well, again, as the Facebook page. You'll find the links to all of our guest sites that we mentioned, as well as other updates from Maria and the Mom Talk Radio crew. And have a great week, everyone. Happy fall.